And welcome in ESPN 102.5, The Game. Some Titans extra for you. Chase McCabe from Darren Donick and Chase. Robbie Stanley from Robbie and Rex Road. Elijah Campbell behind the glass. We know the big matchup tonight between the Tennessee Titans and the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football. So one pregame show was simply not enough, Rob.
No, we gotta go full scale today. This is a big day. I was talking about it last week on the show. Like, I don't know the last time I've looked forward to a Titans game this much in the regular season. It's week 16, two great teams, Sunday Night Football. It's going to be snowy in Green Bay. It's hard to beat, Jace.
Yeah, this is one that when the schedule came out, and I know that we had already kind of entered the COVID world at that point, so it was very unlikely that this was going to happen. But I said to my friends, hey, if this all works out, I'm going to Lambeau.
Yeah.
I've never been to Lambeau. It's a historic place. I've seen the Packers. I actually saw a preseason game here in Nashville. Brett Favre threw like one pass, and then Rodgers came in the rest of the way.
many
years ago. I know, what a duo. But to go to Lambeau would be so much fun. I wish that Titans fans were able to experience that this year, but they'll be watching on NBC. They can listen to us here as we get you set up for that game. So some news and notes that we want to pass along. And by the way, as we go along in this show today, this is the first chance that we've had in a live capacity just to say thank you to the first responders, Metro Police, Fire, and the FBI involved now with what took place Christmas morning on 2nd Avenue.
Yep.
You and I have spent many a time, many a night on 2nd Avenue, in our day. And I know a lot of you listening have, and unthinkable acts, but thank you to the police and fire and the mayor and everybody involved in figuring out what happened and finding who's responsible and keeping our city safe.
Yeah, I mean, it's a scary thing to wake up to on Christmas morning, and like you said, Chase, like when it's, you know, it happens somewhere else, I think you're always kind of invested in it and it sucks, but when it happens in your backyard, it's a little different. I think it hits a little different. And just thank God nobody was hurt in this. I mean, that's the main thing that I took away from what happened on Christmas morning is it was a miracle nobody was hurt, and the devastation on 2nd Avenue is pretty unbelievable from some of the pictures that have been tossed out there. So just incredible bravery shown by the police department, incredible bravery shown by all the first responders, and I can't thank those men and women enough for the job that they do.
I will pass this along as well as we move through some of the news of the day. The 2020 Transperfect Music City Bowl has officially been canceled. They released just a few minutes ago that they received word today that due to an increase in positive COVID-19 tests among student athletes, coaches, and staff with Missouri following its final game, and after consultation with local and state health departments, Missouri would be unable to participate in the 2020 Transperfect Music City Bowl. Unfortunately, that has resulted in the cancellation of this game, which was supposed to be December 30th at Nissan Stadium. And so there's more of just thanking everybody involved in putting this together. I know that they are putting in there, and I think there's obviously truth to it with all the COVID situations, but then with everything going on here in Nashville, I think it also makes sense too. So unfortunately, no 2020 Transperfect Music City Bowl, but it can be back better than ever next year when hopefully everything is semi back to normal. Let's hope and pray for that. But there's a game to be played tonight at Lambeau Field between the Titans and the Green Bay Packers. Two of the, I guess, top tier quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. And obviously this is going to be important for both teams, but especially looking at the Tennessee Titans and what they need to do to win the AFC South and to clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah, it's going to be critical. And look, we knew this game was going to be huge coming into it, and you hope to get some help today, and the Titans have gotten it. And it didn't look like it was going to be that way for a while. The Steelers and the Colts, I mean, the Steelers looked awful in the first half. The Colts got up 21-7. At one point, we're up 24-7. And then in the second half, I mean, it just went final. Pittsburgh comes all the way back. They win the game 28-24. So the Titans now with a chance tonight. If they play well, if they're able to go up there and get a win in Green Bay, they will win the AFC South for the first time since 2008. So you can't really ask for anything more than this. If you're the Titans, you're in a great spot right now to win the division moving forward. You got Houston next week as well. But if you're the Titans, You want to win as many games as you can win, get the best seed possible, and an opportunity tonight for you to do something you haven't done in more than a decade. I think the motivation should not be an issue for these Titans tonight going into Green Bay.
No, not at all. There's so much on the line for their season, and also this team has always been very good at putting the city on their back when the city needs them the most. 28-24 the final between Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. And as you said, Robbie, I'm sitting there watching this game. We were sitting here in the studio getting ready for the show, and as you heard on these airwaves, the Ravens and the Giants, the Ravens win that one 27-13. But you know, I was thinking, all right, Colts got this one.
Yeah.
Steelers start just creeping their way back. I mean, people on Twitter were writing the Steelers off, and I was writing them off. I mean, I thought that they had started going in the wrong direction. They had all these key injuries. I didn't give them much of a chance today. I thought the Colts were going to be the better team going into this one, but you know, as he continuously seems to do, Ben Roethlisberger proves us all wrong and says, hey, don't count me out until I'm done, and I'm not done yet. And that's exactly what he did. He led his team back 342 yards passing, 3 touchdowns on the day for Big Ben. So that's big for the Tennessee Titans, because last night we saw Miami come back and win that game. If Miami had lost, the Titans would have clinched a playoff spot. But now all these different scenarios are, and they get less and less as you get into week 17. But as Robbie mentioned, now it's just win and you win the South, which is huge. Now you know. Now you at least know, have a clearer picture of what that looks like going into the game tonight.
Can I just say real quick, like watching Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger play quarterback today, it felt like watching like both of my grandfathers hit the ball from the senior tee on the golf course. Like, it looked very unpleasant, but it got there. Like, the ball got there at some point. But, man, it was funny to watch. The battle of the peepaw quarterbacks today in Pittsburgh was something else.
Yeah.
Little death interception by Phillip Rivers again as well, too.
He's really
good at that.
You know, watching Rivers, I mean, they're probably going to be in the playoffs, I mean, at 10-4, but or 10-5 now. Watching him he's going to enjoy coaching high school football next year.
Yeah.
I don't see him back anywhere.
I don't know, man.
I mean, who knows? You know, I've ruled out a lot of people because of age, and they've come back.
It certainly does not look like he can throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field.
The Bengals beat the Texans 37-31 in a game that I thought was going to be very low scoring. I don't know why I decided to bet the under, but I did, and that one did not work out. The Chiefs, what about this? And this will kind of start the conversation on this game, because you made a good point before we came on the air. The Chiefs win the game 17-14. The Falcons had a chance to tie it up, missed the field goal, and so the Chiefs walk away with it. But what I've noticed out of Kansas City, I mean, Matt Ryan led the day passing in this game with 300 yards exactly, 2 touchdowns for the Falcons. And, you know, we know the Falcons' issues. They can't close games. They have a lot of decisions to make in the offseason. We know they're going to have a new GM and a new head coach, but they got to figure out quarterback. But they put up a fight, and the Chiefs, it just feels like they've been sleepwalking. I still think this is a very good team and the best team in the league, but they just don't go out there and try like they should, it seems.
No, like, it doesn't look like they were all that motivated today. And even though, I mean, you end up getting the job done, they win 17-14, and they've clinched home field throughout the AFC playoffs. They just looked like a team that was going through the motions. Like Mahomes today, he's 24 of 44, 278, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. I mean, those aren't Mahomes-like numbers. I mean, you throw 44 passes, you would expect Mahomes to put up some big-time numbers, and he just didn't. Danny, you still got, I mean, playmakers, Travis Kelce, he becomes the first NFL tight end in history to catch more than 100 balls in 2 seasons. I mean, he's just been incredible this year. And you talk about the MVP award, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show. But I think everybody just assumes, like, if Derrick Henry doesn't win the MVP, he's going to win the Offensive Player of the Year award. And I don't know. Like, Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
He's having a heck of a year. I mean, I would give it to Derrick Henry, but Travis Kelce certainly putting up a fight. So Kansas City goes through the motions once again, but they find a way to get it done. And I'm interested to see, once the playoffs do come around, if they're ready to get up to top speed quickly, because – it seems like outside of the Saints game, which they looked pretty good last week, they've had their struggles. Even though they've won, they haven't looked like this dominant team that I think we all believe that they are.
Well, I've I've used this example before, and I always go back to this just because we lived it here. But you remember a few years ago where the Predators were a really good team, but you felt like they weren't playing to their potential. And I think it was Jeremy Roenick that said they were a team just looking like they were just ready to get to the playoffs. And it was kind of after that cup run and the President's Trophy of, well, let's just get back to that point and forget about everything else. I do kind of wonder if the Chiefs are – that's the hangover. You know, that's the Super Bowl hangover.
And it is funny. Like, I agree with everything you're saying, but it's funny we say that, and then you look at their record, and they're 14-1. You're like,
sure.
Okay.
And they've clinched the number one seed, so they're going to get a first-round bye. I mean, listen, there is a very, very good chance that we're going to be talking about Kansas City in the Super Bowl again.
There's a good chance.
I think that we all agree that way. But, you know, prognosticating, being a part of what we do, and watching what we have watched the last few weeks – but I do think that team is talented enough that they can turn it off and then turn it back on at the right time and still beat everybody. So the Chiefs do clinch the number one seed in the AFC. And you brought up that the whole MVP conversation. If Rodgers balls out tonight for Green Bay, I agree with you because you brought this up before the break, that I do think there is more of an argument for Rodgers for MVP just because how consistently he has played this year, and not that – Mahomes has played bad. It's just he's kind of gone through the motions at times, whereas Rodgers hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, heading into this week, it's really close anyway. Like, I think you could go either way with it. We've had some people on our show, Robbie and Rexroad, in the past few weeks, and some have gone with Mahomes, some have gone with Rodgers. And I think, like, you look at the stats, you know, Mahomes has 4,400 yards coming into this game. Rodgers has 3,828. But really, other than that, Rodgers is leading in every statistical category. He's got more touchdowns. He's got less interceptions. He's got a higher completion percentage. I mean, he just looks really under control out there. So I think it's close. I think you're right. If Rodgers goes out and has a big game tonight against the Titans and the Packers win, I think you can make a pretty good argument that he's in the driver's seat for the MVP. And look, I think some of what Mahomes has on his team may work against him in that conversation too. When you're talking about Kelce, he leads the league in yards. You've got Tyreek Hill, one of the most dangerous players in the league. And outside of Devontae Adams in the passing attack, if you're Green Bay, a lot of people look around and they don't really know who the rest of the weapons are, even though I think he's got some decent weapons there on offense. Like, nobody knows who Marquez Valdes-Scantling is. Nobody knows who Alan Lazard is. So I think that kind of plays into it as well. But, you know, we talked about how motivated the Titans are going to be heading into this game. I mean, the Packers, they've got the one seed to play for. Aaron Rodgers has the MVP still on the table. That's why I think this sets up to be just an awesome, awesome game tonight, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and I think it'll be a close one. I hope it's a close one. Like, I don't know. I don't just think that. I hope that, because I hate when I go into a game expecting something and think this is just going to be a shootout, and then you get a blowout one way or the other. It's just disappointing. I really hope that isn't the case tonight on Sunday Night Football. The Titans don't get to be on the national stage all that often, and they've earned the opportunity. And you got so many storylines with this. The Rodgers chasing MVP, the Titans trying to win the division, Derrick Henry chasing 2,000 yards. And, oh, by the way, the one that hasn't gotten a ton of attention, the head coaches.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur was the offensive coordinator in Mike Vrabel's first year here in Tennessee. So we will get into all of those things as we go along. We'll turn things over at 5 o'clock to Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders. They are at the Corner Pub in Brentwood for the normal NFL pregame show. But a little Titans extra today. Chase McCabe, Robbie Stanley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Robbie Stanley, Titans extra here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you up until NFL pregame, which will begin at 5 with Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, as the Tennessee Titans play Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. So, Robbie, when you look at the Packers defense, and you know what the Titans have on offense, it's a damn good offense with Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry. It's not just those two. We know the season that A.J. Brown and Corey Davis have both have. I mean, this team could potentially have a 2,000-yard running back and two 1,000-yard receivers before it's all said and done in these next two games, or at least a running back that's close to 2,000 yards. But the Packers' defense, no slouch at all. This is going to be a tough test for them, especially with the weather. Know that there's going to be elements that this Titans team is not used to playing in, whereas Green Bay, they're used to cold and snow and all of those things up there. So what would be your strategy for attacking the Packers' defense tonight?
Well, I think the simple strategy is Derrick Henry, and I think you hear that and you're like, okay, duh, Robbie. They try to run Derrick Henry every game. I think particularly in this game, when you factor in the weather, it's going to be snowy. The wind is going to be gusting around. They're supposed to have, you know, wind gusts up to 25, 30 mile an hour in this game. And more specifically, when you look at the interior of the Packers' defense, they are vulnerable there. And you look at the rushing numbers on defense, and they don't, like, just blow you away. If you're the Packers, they're 11th in the league in total yards against the rush. But they're 11th in the league, in my opinion, and I've watched every single Green Bay game this year, largely because their offense is so good that they get up on teams, and teams have to abandon the run. They've got to throw the ball. Yards per carry-wise, they're giving up 4.5 yards per carry on the ground. And that's – they've seen, I guess, one guy I would put in the ballpark of Derrick Henry this year, and that's Dalvin Cook. And the last time they played Dalvin Cook, he ran all over the Packers at Lambeau Field. Over 200 yards in that game, just destroyed the Packers. So, the Packers haven't seen anybody quite like this heading into this year. If I'm the Titans, I am testing the interior of that Packers defense early and often. They've been vulnerable in that area. It goes all the way back to the NFC title game last year. If you remember watching that game between the Packers and the 49ers, I mean, it was just a huge discrepancy in the run pass. Like, you don't really see. Raheem Mostert, I mean, he set an NFC championship game record for rushing yards in that game, ran for over 200 yards. I think he had over 175 yards with no contact, like not even after contact, just running through the hole. So that's an area that's still a huge concern for Mike Pettine and this Green Bay Packers defense. That's where I start if I'm the Titans. You look on the outside with Jair Alexander and Kevin King. The Packers have been pretty good against the pass all year. They don't give up the deep play. They've got great players at safety as well in Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos Jr. So secondary, the Packers are pretty good. But they are, you know, right over the middle, kind of in the middle of the defense there. They're susceptible. So I'd run crossing routes with A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. I think Jonnu Smith will have to be a huge part of this game as well. And what you can't have happen if you're the Titans, especially when you're having to drop back and in the play-action game, you can't have Za'Darius Smith just take over and eat the lunch of Ryan Tannehill on this Titans offensive line. And Za'Darius Smith, he's shown an ability to do that. 11.5 sacks on the season this year. He's very good at getting after the pass rusher. So that's the key concern to me if I'm the Titans on offense. I would test out that run defense early and often. I think the elements play into that if you're the Titans, and especially up the middle. I think that's an area both in the running game and the passing game that they're susceptible in Green Bay. That's why I think the Titans offense has a chance to have a lot of success in this game.
I do too. I completely agree with you on that. And one thing that is going to happen to me tonight is when I see Za'Darius Smith, I'm going to shed a tear because I wish he was here. I mean, he's a hell of a football player. But I think what Arthur Smith has done a tremendous job of, not just this year, but going back to last year, is if the team is down by 7 or 10 or whatever, he knows he has to get Derrick Henry going to make everything else work. He doesn't get away from it. We've seen them at times this year. I go back to the Baltimore game. They didn't get away from it. They let Derrick Henry still be a part of the offense. That opens up play action. It opens up all the guys that you just named for the Titans, and I think you're going to continue to see that tonight. I agree. Run it early. See what you can do on that first drive, because the Titans have been very successful on opening drives with the scripted plays this year. They can set the momentum there, whether they get the ball first or they don't. We have seen that first drive really work for the Titans, and they always talk about a fast start, getting that fast start. Well, that's the perfect way to do it. I think you're going to see a mix of everything. You're going to see a mix of – I'm glad you brought up Jonnu Smith, because I know he's battled some injuries this year. He hasn't quite been himself. But he's still a big part of this offense and still somebody, especially in the red zone, that they can rely on. They know that if he can somewhat get open, he's going to catch the ball. I mean, we've seen some crazy catches that he has made. So it's not just the three-headed monster of Davis, AJ, and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and I'm glad they got Jonnu Smith more involved last week in the passing game. 5 catches last week against Detroit. And I feel like, you know, heading into that game, he had been taken out of the offense. I think a lot of that is because Taylor Lewan has been down with injury, and Jonnu Smith had to stay in and help chip and to help block on the line of scrimmage and just hasn't been able to be released a lot. I mean, we've talked about it a lot of how many two-man routes the Titans have been running with just Corey Davis and A.J. Brown out there running wild. You can't really have that in this game. I get it. You've got Preston Smith. You've got Za'Darius Smith. There are some edge rushers that if you're the Titans, you've got to worry about in this game going against your offensive line.
There are
line.
Way too many Smiths.
There's
in
a
this
lot
game,
of Smiths.
By the way.
A whole lot of Smiths going on. We're talking about three of them right now. But I feel like if you're going to have a game and maximize your potential offensively in this game, Jonnu Smith is going to have to be a part of it. Because let's not forget this. We talk about how difficult it is to tackle Derrick Henry. It's really hard to tackle Jonnu Smith as well. Like Joe Rexroad has said it, the Titans trio of Jonnu Smith, A.J. Brown, and Derrick Henry, that might be the most difficult trio in the league to bring to the ground. I mean, Jonnu Smith, he runs angry with the ball. So this is important. The elements play into that. It's going to be in the mid-20s. There's going to be snow flying around. It's not going to be fun to tackle people in this game. It's not fun to tackle Derrick Henry anyway. It's certainly not going to be fun if the Titans can keep this close and you're freezing your butt off out there if you're the Packers defense hitting that guy in the third and fourth quarter. You got to let it get to that point if you're Arthur Smith and the Titans offense. That's going to be crucial. The defense has to at least keep Rodgers, you know, from lighting it up on the scoreboard. And a big way to do that is to keep him off the field. That's why I think that the Titans are going to hit that running game early and often.
Yeah, and here's another thing, too. A guy that neither one of us have brought up yet, and I understandably so. I know it's 1 week, but you got to figure that Darrington Evans is going to have another role, a larger role. Had an impressive – I know it wasn't his debut, but it basically was last week. I mean, he hardly played at all this year. You have to hope that Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel have looked at that this week, seen him in practice, and gone, okay, let's not put too much on him early, but he can certainly help this offense. And you call the trio of Jonnu Smith and Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, I think the thing that the Titans have at their advantage is now they have other pieces that they can slide into that. They can have multiple trios. They have the main one, but Corey Davis, of course, has been huge. So I do like that when talking about the Green Bay defense. Give all the respect, and they deserve all the respect for what they have been able to do this year. I mean, for a team that drafted Aaron Rodgers' eventual replacement instead of giving him a lot of help offensively and even defensively, I mean, the team overall, you have to like that personnel. But I do like the matchup for the Titans tonight. This is not a game in which I go into that I might have earlier in the year and circle and go, okay, well, that's an L.
Yeah,
they have no chance on the road at Lambeau late in the season against Aaron Rodgers. No, I think they have a very good chance with what they have on offense, and that is even factoring in the deficiencies that the Titans have on defense.
Yeah, and look, this is going to be a big game for Ryan Tannehill as well. I mean, you're coming from Miami. You've been here in Tennessee. This is going to be a cold game. This is going to be a snowy game. How do you respond to that if you're Ryan Tannehill? He's not used to playing in elements like this.
Nope.
Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is. Look, I don't think the snow is just going to be this huge deal tonight. It snows in Green Bay. Really, to be honest with you, when you tell me the game is going to be in the mid-20s, you're almost dodging a bullet if you're the Titans. Think about what it could be in late December in Lambeau. I mean, we've seen games that are played that are 5-6 degrees in late December. So the snow is going to be fun. I'm sure the field will be cleared up, at least to start the game. It may continue to snow as you go on there. But how do the Titans respond to the elements offensively? They haven't had to do this yet this year. It would seem like it's tailor-made for Derrick Henry to just run all over the Packers defense, but you're going to have to make some plays through the air. Can Tannehill kind of keep his cool and be able to grip the ball and get enough zip on it in a game like this where it's going to be difficult with the elements being what they are? That's something I'm interested to see if he can do.
Yeah, I also look at Tannehill and I go, does he get enough respect? Does he have enough respect going into this game, you know, league-wide? I mean, I'll bring a piece of evidence here. So the NFL.com does quarterback power rankings or quarterback index every week. They update it every week. Right now, if you haven't seen this, who would you say is at number one?
Mahomes would be my guess.
Mahomes is number one. He is up from number two last week because the person that is at number two or was at number one.
So Rodgers.
Rodgers.
Okay.
Number three.
Ooh.
You may not get it, but take a guess.
Russell Wilson.
Okay, it is not Russell Wilson. Dang. Russell Wilson is seventh.
So I wasn't even close. Great.
Number three is Josh Allen.
Okay.
Right now.
All right.
Number four is Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
They have Ryan Tannehill in the top five.
I'm actually surprised by that.
And he was number four last week. So, I mean, he has been there for the last couple weeks at number four. So I'm surprised by that, too, because of what the question that I just asked. Does he get enough respect? Clearly, he's getting it here. But I think people still just aren't believers in, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, like, holy crap. Like, Ryan Tannehill's been very, very solid, a very good quarterback. I was watching some of the shows this morning, and I believe it was ESPN. They brought up of, you know, he's not going to win it, but he should at least be in the conversation for MVP for what he's been able to do to keep this team together. So that factors in right there. And I'm sure that Green Bay is looking at it going, guys, 17, that guy's pretty good.
Oh, they know. Yeah, they know how good Ryan Tannehill is. But to your point, tonight is a huge opportunity for him, I think, nationwide. Like, just think about the last time the entire nation was watching the Titans play. It was the Colts game on Thursday Night Football. Wasn't a great game for Tannehill and that Titans offense. You flash back even before that, it was the playoffs last year. And while the Titans looked good, I mean, Tannehill didn't have to do a whole lot. I mean, he threw for less than 100 yards against the Patriots, came out against Baltimore, didn't have to do a whole lot, and then Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, stole the show after that. So I think there's still this narrative from your casual NFL fan nationally that they look at this offense and they say, yeah, I get it. I mean, Tannehill's numbers are fine, but he's got Derrick Henry in the backfield. I mean, anybody could do that with Derrick Henry in the backfield. I think this is a huge opportunity tonight for Ryan Tannehill to show that, hey, this is not just Derrick Henry's offense. This is not just me turning around and handing the ball off to 22. I'm a huge part of this offense. I'm a part of the transformation of this offense. I think there's a chip on his shoulder based on some of the comments he had earlier this week about getting snubbed for the Pro Bowl. I think he admitted that there's a narrative out there that what we just talked about with Derrick Henry is there and that he doesn't get the respect he deserves. Tannehill's a quiet guy. You're never going to see him outwardly admit it. But I do think there's something there. I think there's a chip. And I think tonight's a great opportunity for him to show it.
But you know what, Robbie? Part of me doesn't want him to get the respect.
Yeah.
Because there's something about Nashville teams as a whole, when they fly under the radar and they don't get the national attention, they use that as fuel. Whether it's the Titans or the Predators or SC or whoever, they use that as fuel. And I think Tannehill's doing that too. Tannehill is looking at it. I don't know if he wakes up every day and looks at a picture of him in a Miami Dolphins uniform and just uses that as even more motivation or what. But that's exactly where I think he's at. And fine, if that's what it takes, and Vrabel uses that, Vrabel knows how to. I mean, Mike Vrabel won three Super Bowls as a player, and that guy's had a chip on his shoulder, I think, ever since he entered the league,
yep.
Probably back to Ohio State, and that certainly translates to the rest of his football team. So this matchup tonight, when it comes to the Titans offense and the Packers defense, is just one piece of the puzzle that I am looking forward to. When we come back, how do you slow down Aaron Rodgers? Not how do you stop Aaron Rodgers. How do you slow him down and the weapons that he has? We'll talk about that with the Titans defense. Chase McCabe, Robbie Stanley, Titans Extra, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, man, I think it's the same for everybody. I think you're going to have to try to, you know, force them into longer situations. You're going to have to be able to try to get guys, you know, around them or force them a little bit off the spot. He throws it so well on the move. He gives ground, he drifts, he's able to throw off his back foot, he's able to throw off balance. You know, be sound in coverage and try to find ways to force him to progress through the route.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on Aaron Rodgers and how to, I'm sure he was asked, stop him, but slow him down. And he makes very good points. Chase McCabe, Robbie Stanley, Titans Extra. Here with you, Elijah Campbell, behind the glass. We'll turn things over to Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders here in just a little bit at 5 o'clock for the official NFL pregame show. But that really is the answer. You got to slow him down. It's just like Green Bay is going to look at, we can't stop Henry. We can't take Henry out of the game. We can't take Tannehill completely out of the game. You can hope to, but you got to try and just slow them down. We know the issues that the Titans have had all year on defense. This is nothing new. This is something that they have had to battle with week to week. And now you're going against one of the best quarterbacks, not only this season, but of all time, in Aaron Rodgers, a surefire Hall of Famer. So, Robbie, how do you go about it? What do you do? I mean, Derek Roberson, who has been a part of your pass rush, is out. He's not going to be there, and you haven't had much of a pass rush this year, as we know, well-documented. A lot of players on IR, but quite frankly, it just hasn't been good enough, even when those players are in. So now when you go up against Rodgers and you know the things that he can do to manipulate the pocket and to extend plays, how do you stop that?
Yeah, it's a big predicament that this Titans defense is going to have in this game. And I think maybe the one thing you do have working for you if you're the Titans – maybe the weather and the fact that it's going to be cold and that the wind's going to be blowing. Now, I say that. Rodgers has had a ton of experience in playing in Lambeau when it's cold and when it's windy. So it's not like he's just not going to be able to throw the ball. But I think back to some of the times that the Packers have struggled this year offensively. The Tampa Bay game comes to mind. The second half last week against Carolina comes to mind. And they were able to get to Rodgers and get him off the spot. The Packers offense... and it's really no different than any other offense in the NFL, but it's so reliant on everything being on schedule. They know exactly what they're trying to do out there. LaFleur and the way that he and Rodgers have connected with this offense, they're on schedule all the time. I mean, they know exactly where they're going with the ball. You're going to see Davante Adams lined up all sorts of different ways tonight. You're going to see him on the outside. They'll motion him inside. You'll see him line up in the slot. They'll motion him outside. They'll put him in trips and get a ball on him through a screen. I mean, they're going to find so many different ways to get Davante Adams the ball in this game. So if you're the Titans, I mean, the formula for throwing Rodgers off his game is, quite frankly, a formula that they haven't been able to solve all year long, and that is getting enough pressure on him where you can get him off the spot. And I just don't know if the Titans are equipped to do that. You mentioned Roberson being out. The Titans have 14 sacks all season long in 15 games. Aaron Rodgers has been sacked 18 times.
Yeah, so, T.J. Watt, I think, has more sacks by himself than the Titans do as a defense.
Exactly. I mean, it's the formula is not great for the Titans to be able to throw him off. If you give him time, Davante Adams is going to get open. If you give him time, Robert Tonyan will get open. So it's a big challenge going into this game for the Titans defense. I mean, the one thing you hope for is you got Adoree Jackson back. Now you've got Butler and Jackson in the secondary. I've been impressed mostly from what I've seen from Desmond King in the slot. And I thought Kevin Byard had a great game last week against Detroit. So I think you're feeling okay about your secondary. The question is, you know, it doesn't matter how good your secondary is. If you can't get to the quarterback, eventually somebody will be open. Can they cover long enough for somebody to get back there and get a hand in Rodgers' face? I don't think you're going to sack him a lot. He's great at extending plays. But get him off schedule, get him out of his rhythm where you've got to hitch the ball, you've got to pump fake it, bring it back down, and try to freelance from there. To me, that's the formula for success if you're the Titans. I don't think they're going to shut him down. You've got to get key stops. When it's third and five and you've got a chance to get off the field, you've got to find a way to make the play and get off the field and take your chances offensively from there. I think that's got to be the formula for the Titans in this game.
I'm glad you brought up the secondary and not just Adoree Jackson, because even before Adoree Jackson came back, I felt like this secondary with Desmond King in the fold, they were playing better as a whole. Malcolm Butler's had a good year. I mean, and he's – I don't put him in the elite of the elite by any means, but he has certainly had his best year, in my opinion, as a Tennessee Titan this season, and that's with all, you know, the trouble around him. I feel like that unit has played much better. That's going to be the key tonight. That's where you have to kind of go reverse of how it usually should be, where the pass rush helps the secondary. The secondary is going to have to help the pass rush. I mean, the secondary is going to have to bail them out, and they're going to have to make a play here and there. Doesn't have to be an interception, just bat a ball down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it is. Make a tackle if Rodgers does make a completion, and not if, when. He's going to make completions. That's just how it's going to be. But can you get more out of Adoree Jackson than you did last week? Can you see more of the sets where you have Adoree Jackson on the field at the same time as a Malcolm Butler, and he's not, you know, on a snap count or a pitch count or however you want to put it? That's what I'm hoping for, and I know that's what the Titans are hoping for. I know Mike Vrabel, whenever Adoree Jackson is brought up, he shifts away from that as quickly as he possibly can, because there's clearly more to it than we know. But I think, too, and I heard Teron Davenport bring this up when he was on with us earlier in the week. I mean, if you can have a lot of these guys, Christian Fulton, you know, in the fold, have them all on the same on the field at the same time, maybe take King out at times, that's only going to help. So the secondary is finally looking like it was drawn up.
Yeah.
It's the first time that you could really say that this year, that how they drew it up to start the season, what the guys they had penciled in, they finally have them available.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see if they can make the plays when available to them. Like, you're going up against a receiving core tonight in Green Bay that's got three guys that do three very different things. I mean, Davante Adams, I think, is the best wide receiver in football. I mean, press coverage, whatever type of coverage you want to throw at him, he's going to find a way to get open. He can do everything. He can run every type of route. He is the focal point of that Green Bay offense. Allen Lazard is their number two receiver. He's more of a possession guy. He's a guy where if it's third and seven, there's a good chance. If they're not going to Adams, they're going to Lazard. He's really good against the sticks, but he's not a deep threat. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, there will be at least two plays tonight where he runs a 50-yard go route and Rodgers takes a shot. You got to make sure you're ready for that if you're the Titans defense. So it's interesting the way Green Bay goes about it. They've got three guys out there that do three different things, different skill sets, and then Tonyan as well at the tight end position. But this receiving core is going to challenge the Titans secondary tonight in a way where they're going to have to be ready for it. You're going to have Adoree Jackson at the top of his game. You're going to have Malcolm Butler playing as physically as we've seen him play this year, and hope that that matches up with Davante Adams if that's the route they choose to go and put him. I might go Adoree on Devontae. I think, you know, physically he's got the size and the speed. I think you're going to need that against Davante Adams. I'm really interested to see, number one, if either Butler or Jackson follow him around, yeah, or if they just kind of leave him on an island and do wherever he goes. If he's on the right side of the field, you're matched up with Adoree. If he's on the left, you're matched up with Malcolm. I'm interested to see how they handle that. But that's going to be the focal point, and Green Bay's been, they've made no secret about it this week. They did not get him the ball enough last week, Davante Adams. You can bet early on in this game, 17's going to be getting the ball a lot, and you got to be ready for that if you're the Titans.
Yeah, and I think LaFleur, I mean, I know this team has changed a good bit since he's been here, but LaFleur is going to look at matchups early, knowing some of these guys, and he's gonna put Davante Adams where he thinks he can expose the Titans the most. But the Titans know that too. I think that Vrabel has obviously thought about that and
sure,
looked at how that's going to be as well. I mean, we haven't brought it up, and we'll do it a little bit more in the next segment, but Aaron Jones also deserves a lot of credit too. I mean, he's no slouch. On 180 carries, the guy's at almost, he's almost at 1,000 yards. There's, yeah, a good chance he goes over 1,000 yards tonight on the season with 8 touchdowns. So it's not just Rodgers throwing to somebody. They have a ground attack, maybe not the same level of Derrick Henry, but they have a pretty good ground attack as well.
No, it's different, and you're right. Aaron Jones, a really good offensive weapon for the Packers, and usually it's a two-headed monster. You've got Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Doesn't look like Jamal Williams is going to be able to go tonight. Now, they did draft A.J. Dillon in the second round, so we're going to be interested to see how much playing time he gets. He's more of a kind of a goal line back, more of that power back. But Aaron Jones, not only do you have to watch out for him in the run game, but, I mean, he runs wheel routes that Rodgers hits him on for 45 yards. I mean, he's a big part of the passing game as well. So lots of weapons for this offense the Packers have. If you're the Titans, you've got to find a way to throw them off schedule. If you can do that, you've got a chance. If you can't, it's going to be a long night defensively.
When we come back, the more lethal combination, is it Rodgers and Adams or Tannehill and Henry? Robbie and I will discuss that. Chase McCabe, Robbie Stanley. It is Titans Extra here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ah, that music gets me fired up. Makes me want to say, live from Lambeau Field, Chase McCabe, Robbie Stanley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sunday night football between the Tennessee Titans and the Green Bay Packers. Kickoff set for 7:20 Central Time. We'll turn things over to Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders coming up in just a few for the NFL pregame show. But I asked the question before the break, Robbie, the more lethal combo, is it Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, or is it Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry? So if you look strictly at the numbers, we'll start with the on the Packers side. Adams is already over 1,000 yards as a wide receiver, really over 1,100, 14 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers, 332 of 447, 40 TDs, just 4 interceptions on the season for the Green Bay QB. You put those together. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, it's pretty good numbers. 40 touchdowns.
By the way, Devontae Adams has missed three games.
Yes. Yeah, and that's true. Yeah, that's missing three games for the star wide receiver. So you hear those numbers right there, and you think, okay, well, that's pretty good. You got to go with Green Bay. But if you go on the other side of the coin when it comes to the Tennessee Titans, and I've looked at this, and I think I knew this, but I had to remind myself of this when I was pulling up these numbers earlier. I mean, for Tannehill, he's 286 of 430, so he's thrown the ball almost as much as Aaron Rodgers has this year.
Yep.
And the completion percentage is just a tick under Rodgers on the year. He has 31 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
So he's not that far off from Rodgers' numbers. And then we know Derrick Henry on the year, 321 carries, 1679 on the ground, 15 touchdowns. You're comparing a running back to a wide receiver, I understand. But I would say that if you ask that question and you think about the answer, they're close. I mean, they just are when it comes to lethal combinations. If I'm picking, if I have to choose of what I'm going to take, I think I'm going to take the Titans. I want Henry.
I love this question. I really do. And this goes back to what we talked about earlier in terms of Tannehill not getting the respect that he deserves. Because I think, like, if this question was on First Take or whatever national platform you want to put it on ESPN, I think people would laugh it off and they would say, it's Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams because they have Aaron Rodgers. You look at the numbers, and I get it. Aaron Rodgers, I think he should be the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP. But Ryan Tannehill is close this year. I mean, they are very close in terms of their production. I mean, obviously, when you're talking about receiver and running back, two very different things, two very different, temperature gauges of production there. But I might have to agree with you. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams is the best quarterback wide receiver duo in the NFL. And you think back to some of these, I guess, duos or combinations that Rodgers has had, whether it's been with Greg Jennings or Jordy Nelson or with Randall Cobb, I think that this one with Adams is the best duo that they've ever had in terms of being on the same page, the ability to throw any ball, to run any route, and to hurt you in so many different ways. I think this is the most lethal combination that the Packers have ever had with Rodgers and Devontae Adams. But I don't know. I mean, it's you watch Derrick Henry play right now and just the different things he's able to do and how quickly he can just put a team on his back and take over a game. I think it's really, really close. I would give the slight edge, I think, to Rodgers and Adams because of just the chemistry they've had and that they've played together for 7-8 years at this point. But, man, I think it's close. I love this question. And part of that is how much value do you put on the running back? How much value do you put on that quarterback-receiver combo? I think you're talking about, regardless of which other way you want to answer it, I think you're talking about two of the top duos in the entire NFL.
Well, and I agree. And that's why I brought it up, because of how close it is. And for the fact that you can also argue, well, with the Titans especially, I mean, you still have the two wide receivers that aren't a part of this conversation. You have Davis, who's had 60 catches, 945 yards, 5 touchdowns. You think he's probably going to go over the 1,000-yard mark maybe tonight. That could possibly happen. And then just under him, just behind him, 56 catches. He's been targeted more, 881 yards for A.J. Brown, 10 touchdowns. So you could almost change this question up and put those guys, whether you're going combos or three-headed monsters or quad, whatever you want to call it with the Tennessee Titans, they certainly factor in, and they all help each other.
Yeah.
That's the other part of it. They all make the other one better. They all push the other one. And whether you're having a number one wide receiver, or number two, or you know the number one threat in Derrick Henry, they all tie in together, whereas you have Aaron Jones as a part of the conversation for sure with the Green Bay Packers. I like the weapons overall with the Titans a little bit better.
I do too. Like I think you can make an argument that the Packers have the two best players in Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I think that the argument between Devontae Adams and Derrick Henry is very close.
Sure.
I think it's very close. And you might give the slight edge to Henry there. But I think you're right. As a whole, like if you factor up all the weapons on the Titans offense and compare that to what Green Bay has, I think the Titans have more weapons. I do. And even though Like, you look at the numbers, and we talked about it earlier with Jonnu Smith. They don't line up to what you see from Tonyan. He's got 10 touchdowns on the season. I think Jonnu Smith is way more gifted than Robert Tonyan is athletically. I think you can do more things with Jonnu Smith than you can do with Tonyan outside as well. So, like, you talk about Brown and Davis, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Jonnu Smith, all these different weapons that they have. And we're not even talking about Adam Humphries because he's not healthy for this game.
Yeah.
But you factor him in normally as well. I like the Titans' offense, I think, better than I do Green Bay's, even though I think Rodgers separates from a lot of arguments just because of how good he is. Like, this is probably – I mean, I've watched a lot of Aaron Rodgers play. This is probably the best I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable this year.
Well, and I think a lot of that has to do with he had a little bit of the pissed off for greatness going into the season because it's – and what's funny is what he was a part of now has happened to him because he was drafted.
Yeah.
Brett Favre was still the starter. Brett Favre looks around and goes, what are you doing? Spending a first-round pick on a quarterback. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not ready to retire.
Right.
And then, of course, he teased this all for years of even after he left Green Bay, and he still had something left in the tank. Now Rodgers is looking and going, what are you doing? Like, I'm not ready to go. I mean, sure, Jordan Love can sit there and watch me work. I'm not going to help him. But he can sit there and he can watch me work. But I'm not ready to go. And the difference now is Rodgers has a contract that's going to be really hard for Green Bay to get out of.
Right.
But Rodgers could have sulked and could have just been like, eh, whatever, gone through the motions, you're not going to help me. But he didn't. He came out and he was determined, and it was almost a looking at the Green Bay brass and going, watch this, hold my beer. And that's exactly what he's done this year. And I think he'll continue to do it. I don't think this is a one-year Rodgers resurgence. I think Rodgers is showing no matter what happens, if it's Green Bay, Kansas City in the Super Bowl and Green Bay comes up just a little bit short, I think that just motivates him even more because he's chasing that second ring.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, look, he's 37 years old. I mean, eventually Father Time's going to catch up. But, I mean, you watch him play and you'll see it tonight. I mean, he hasn't lost any zip on that fastball. He can still make every throw. He still makes two or three throws every game where you're just like, how in the world did he fit that ball in? And that's, you're talking about a generational talent. And quite frankly, like, the Titans, they've gone up against some good quarterbacks this year. They haven't seen anything like what they're about to see tonight. I'm really interested how they respond to it. Like, I mean, they got embarrassed in the first half against Cleveland. And if I'm on that Titans defense and that first half against Cleveland went the way it went, I'm making it my personal mission that nothing like that ever happens to me again.
Agreed.
The rest of this regular season. Now, maybe they're just not good enough. Maybe that's going to happen tonight and there's nothing you can do about it. But I would hope that after that happens to you once, you're motivated to make sure that come hell or high water, that doesn't happen to you again. And we'll see if they're able to do that tonight against, obviously, a much better quarterback than they saw in Baker Mayfield. You got to find a way to get to him. I mean, that's what this boils down to. And I know Titans fans hear that, and they say, well, that's great. You're not going to find a way to get to him at this point based on what we've seen so far. And you could be right about that. But if you're the Titans, if there was ever a time to be aggressive and find a way to manufacture some pass rush, if Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen have anything left in the tank that we haven't seen yet, you're going to have to see it tonight. Because if you don't, I mean, Rodgers is going to rip you apart back there, and you're going to put so much pressure on your offense to have zero margin for error. You're going to have to score 35, 38 points to win this game. And look, I mean, the offense, it's been great. It's the number one scoring offense in the NFL right now. But that's got to get to you at some point if you're Tannehill and Henry and A.J. Brown. And you know, like, if you mess up one time,
yeah,
you're in trouble. Like, it's right. Going to be hard for you to win a game. So that's hard to sustain if you're an offense. If you're the defense, you got to find a way to give them some help tonight.
Yeah, A.J. can't have the dropsies.
No.
He's got to make some of these big catches. But I think the offenses on both sides, both offensive coordinators can't play scared, and they know
right.
That. They know that. They are going to have their guys clicking on all cylinders tonight. Whether or not, if there's snow or how cold it is, it doesn't matter. Both offenses are going to have to be clicking at their best to be able to win this game. I mean, I don't really think it can come down to the defenses for either side. I mean, the over-under, according to BetMGM, is 54.5.
Yeah.
And the Titans have beaten the over pretty much every game except for, I think, four this year. It's been rare that they have hit the under. and Green Bay has just of an explosive offense as the Titans. So even with the weather, I lean the over. I think both of these offenses are going to be putting up points tonight. It's just the key stop that one of the defenses is going to have to make. That's what I hope happens. I said it to start the show. I hope it's a shootout.
That's what the NFL is now. Like, I think the days, at least for now, of your just dominant defense, I think those days are gone. Like, you saw it last year with San Francisco. That's how they got to the Super Bowl. They had one of the greatest defensive lines and defensive fronts that I've ever seen. But by and large, like, right now, you're not seeing teams hold, you know, these great offenses to 14 and 17 and 20 throughout a game. It's more about getting the crucial stops. When it's 3rd and 6 on the 45-yard line, you got to find a way to get off the field. If you can do that, you're going to give yourself a chance to win. If you can't, it's just hard. I mean, you're playing with zero margin for error at that point. And too many times this year, that's what we've seen from the Titans and their defense. I mean, just think about, like, how many yards Derrick Henry would have right now if the Titans defense helped him out along the way. Like, I think back to that Cincinnati game where he only got 18 carries. You think back to the Cleveland game where they're out of it in the first half and he's taken out of the game plan in the second half. Like, that can't happen tonight. You've got to find a way, if you're the Titans, to continue to allow Derrick Henry to be a part of this game into the second half.
He's Robbie Stanley of Robbie and Rex Road. You can hear them starting tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Chase McCabe, Darren Donick, and Chase starting at 10. We will have full reaction all day long through Stillman and Company on the Titans and the Packers on Sunday Night Football. When we come back, Vrabel versus LaFleur. We'll look into that matchup, plus give you a scoreboard update around the league. It is Titans Extra here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Titans Extra here on ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Robbie Stanley hanging out with you. We'll discuss the matchup between the head coaches. Of course, Matt LaFleur was the longtime one-year Titans offensive coordinator under Mike Vrabel, and Mike Vrabel now in his third season. But a couple of news and notes and scores. Do want to pass this along. Metro Nashville Police putting this out there just a few minutes ago on their official Twitter account. Law enforcement is now announcing that Anthony Warner, 63, of Bakertown Road, is the man believed responsible for Friday's explosion on 2nd Avenue. He perished in the blast. No one else is presently believed to have been involved. Thank you to our federal and state partners. Metro Police putting that out there. So Anthony Warner believed to be responsible for the bomb that was set off on 2nd Avenue. Luckily, no one killed other than him in the explosion on Friday Christmas morning. So passing that along, they're I guess just putting that out there via a news conference. So wanted to put that there for all of you. Now some scores around the league. We know that the Colts lost today to the Pittsburgh Steelers early on. It looked like that they had that game in the bag, but the Steelers come back. They win it 28-24. So that means if the Titans win tonight, they are the AFC South champions for 2020, their first division title since 2008. And I'll say this, Robbie. I know Titans fans just look at it. Just get into the playoffs. Just do like you did last year. Make another run. Get past the AFC Championship. But hanging those banners are important. All Predators jokes aside, yeah, it is important to win the division and to be able to do that. And historically, this franchise just hasn't done it a lot. I think they've won 3 division titles since they've been in Nashville alone. So for them to be AFC South champions would be huge.
Well, it's a crucial next step, right? I mean, you heard about it last year after they go to the AFC title game. They're out against Kansas City, and Vrabel talked about it. I mean, the next step is to play games in the playoffs at home. Now, obviously, none of us anticipated home playoff games looking like what they're going to look like this year with crowds very limited, maybe in some cases no crowds at all. So it's not the same, and it's not like you're getting this massive home field advantage. But I do think there is something to that. I think, you know, the 20% or whatever that's been in there from a capacity standpoint at Nissan Stadium, it is important as you move forward here. So I do think it's important. I think it's good for the mentality of the team to know that you've come out and you've won the AFC South for the first time since 2008. That's the opportunity that's on the table for the Titans tonight. If you don't get it done tonight, that opportunity is still on the table next week against Houston. But I think especially with Cleveland losing today, who knows what Buffalo is going to do coming down the stretch here. Win as many games as you can win down the stretch. Find a way to get to 12-4 and just let the cards fall where they may after that. I think the Titans have a big opportunity here, and that starts tonight. And if, can you imagine getting it done tonight, clinching the AFC South on national television for the first time since 08? I mean, this city would just be elated. I mean, the hype tomorrow on the shows, on our show, your show, Chase, there'd be a lot of excited Titans fans, and that's an energy around here. If you've watched a lot of Titans football from 2009 until like last year, you need some of that. There's a lot of bad football that we had to endure, and it feels like we're finally out of that. This team's fun to watch. They're exciting, and just a massive opportunity tonight in Green Bay.
Yeah, and they're going to have seeding to play for, too, if they win tonight. I mean, that's the other thing. They're the fourth seed right now. They could improve their position depending on how things go. The Ravens defeated the Giants today 27-13, so that obviously helps Baltimore's playoff hopes. The Bengals beat the Texans 37-31, so the Bengals surging a little bit there late in the season. The Chiefs, as we talked about to start the show, beat the Falcons 17-14. The Falcons hung in there. They had a chance to tie it up, missed the field goal, so the Chiefs hold on to
most
go 14-1.
Most Falcons thing ever.
Yes,
just get a chance to hang in and screw it up.
Such a Falcons thing. But with that win, the Chiefs are the number one seed officially in the AFC, so they will have that first round bye. And remember, with the added team in the playoffs, there's only one bye to go around. It is the number one seed. The Jags fall to the Bears 41-17, so the Jags well on their way to winning the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, and I'll get to that in just a second. Right now, some games that are going on that you may be paying attention to. The Eagles up on the Cowboys 14-10. The Seahawks trailing the Rams 6-3. You also have the Broncos trailing the Chargers 13-0. The Ron Rivera Bowl, his return, or not his return, it's at home, but his first game against his former team, 20-3, the Panthers on top of the Washington football team. I mention the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. I don't know what the Jets are doing. They're not doing it right, which shouldn't surprise anybody. They beat the Browns today, 23-16. They now have two wins on the season.
Two wins in a row against two playoff teams, baby. The Rams and the Browns, back-to-back. 23-16 for the Jets today. Now, it does help when the Browns literally don't have a wide receiver out there.
No, Elijah barely made it to the studio because he was playing wide receiver for the Browns.
He was getting ready to suit up and go out there. Like, that certainly helps when you don't have to go up against an actual NFL wide receiver. But that's still just a horrendous loss for Cleveland. And the Jets, like you said, Chase, it feels like, all right, at least if they're screwing it up, they're screwing it up in a way where Trevor Lawrence is just going to fall into your lap. And now it's not going to happen. I mean, Jacksonville, they're going to get the number one overall pick, and Trevor Lawrence is going to be here in the AFC South. Just pretty unbelievable.
But that's how it is going to be. And, you know, you wonder who the head coach of Jacksonville is going to be once Trevor Lawrence becomes a Jag. But we know the head coaches of this game tonight. Mike Vrabel, of course, in his third year with the Tennessee Titans, and Matt LaFleur in his second season with the Green Bay Packers. He was the offensive coordinator for 1 year with the Titans here in Nashville. And I'll say this, and I've said it a few times this week, and I know Darren was on the same page. I didn't think he was going to get a head coaching job after 1 year. I was shocked when the Packers were the team that announced that he was coming to be their head coach. He's done a great job there. He's had Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones and others.
Doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt to have that. That's going to help with your success. In his first year, he gets his team to the NFC Championship game, and they look like they are on the path to potentially having the number one overall seed in the NFC this year. That's why this game is huge for them. So I take nothing away from what he's done. But I'll also say that having the quarterback that he's had has certainly helped him along. I mean, you look at Arthur Smith. You didn't know what it was going to look like when he took over as offensive coordinator. We saw what it looked like with Mariota, and then we saw the complete opposite when Tannehill took over. So you're always going to ask the question, is LaFleur that great of an offensive mind, or is it just on the quarterback that he has calling his plays? Who knows? We'll find out what it looks like when Aaron Rodgers is gone, because we saw it under Mariota. But this matchup between Mike Vrabel and Matt LaFleur is certainly a storyline. Mike Vrabel was asked about the job that Matt LaFleur has done so far in Green Bay.
Well, Matt, I think Matt had a plan. I think Matt's, learned a lot from everywhere he's been. You know, the stops along the way. Respect his journey. You know, his ability to take jobs and move on. with a family. I think that's something that's always difficult and something that guys always think about. But you know, he was able to be a quality control and move on and learn from everybody along the way. And I think that's a strength to be able to do that. I think he went in, and then, you know, when your system, when you come into a new place and you can win and have success, I think it automatically makes buy-in easier.
Mike Vrabel on his former offensive coordinator, now head coach of the Packers, Matt LaFleur. I'll say this, and I know that I just put out there, you got Aaron Rodgers, that certainly makes your job easier, but you still have to manage the rest of the team. You have to be the CEO. And as we've seen here in Nashville in 3 years, Mike Vrabel has certainly had some growing pains at times. He's made some decisions that have been good ones. He's made some decisions that we have questioned, and he's probably questioned himself. That's a part of learning. Now, LaFleur has had that luxury of he can make some of those mistakes, and they get covered up by his Hall of Fame quarterback. But I still think he's done a good job of managing the team as a whole.
Well, but it's also not only just, you know, being helped out by your quarterback, but you've also got to get him to buy in as your quarterback. Like, that was, I think, the number one question that people had when the Packers made the decision to hire LaFleur as coach. Because I agree with you, Chase. Like, I saw that hire, and I was like, huh, really? Like, maybe one day, but is Matt LaFleur ready for this right now? How is he going to mesh with Aaron Rodgers? And you heard, like, reports early last year that, like, Rodgers and LaFleur just hated each other and couldn't get along. And I think we've seen that those were not accurate. I think that there's no ill will or bad beef there whatsoever. But that's been a big part of it, is getting a way for your Hall of Fame quarterback, your Super Bowl champion quarterback, to buy into your system, especially, like we talked about it, Aaron Rodgers is 37 years old. Matt LaFleur is 40. So it's not like there's this big age difference here, that this long track record of success that LaFleur has had. I think the ability for LaFleur to come in and get Rodgers to buy in to what he's doing has been great. And it hasn't always been rosy. Like, you look back to their offense last year, they were 18th in total offense last year. It was a transition to go from everything they had done under Mike McCarthy. The offense last year, even though they had Rodgers and even though they had Adams, there were times where it looked rough. And this year they've stuck with it. LaFleur has gotten even more control this year of what they're doing. And now they're one of the best offenses in the league. So I agree. Like, it obviously it helps when you've got Adams and you've got Rodgers. But, I mean, LaFleur's 24-6. He got him the NFC title game last year. I think his scheme has been a perfect fit with that offense. And I think, quite honestly, as you look at this coaching matchup tonight, you're talking about two of the best young coaches in the game. Obviously, Shanahan's in that discussion. Sean McVay's in that discussion as well. But I think both of these guys, in LaFleur and Vrabel, they've got a chance to be at their respective stops for a long time.
Yeah, because I know that some guests that we have had on, Darren Donick and Chase, they have brought up, even sometimes without being asked, Mike Vrabel is, in their opinion, one of the best coaches in the league right now and doesn't get enough credit, or now you're starting to see him get some credit for the job that he's done. So I agree, and I think that that's going to be fun. And the fact that, you know, this is a regular season matchup, but, I mean, who knows how it could all play out. They could see each other again here in a few months, a few weeks in the playoffs. And obviously the Super Bowl is when they would match up again. But I agree, and I think that that's what's fun to watch. And you're seeing, even though, you know, there are names that you know that are always going to be out there, when a job becomes available, but you're seeing this influx of the young coaches, the young assistants that have paid their dues, and it doesn't take as long, it feels, anymore to get a head coaching job in the National Football League, that a lot of teams like these young hires, these offensive minds. I mean, we've seen it in LA with McVay and Shanahan's another one that you mentioned, and now LaFleur. I mean, these are, you know, there are some guys that have had to really work hard to get that call to be a head coach. Look at Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
It took him forever to get a shot at being the head coach. And the news coming out today, it looks like he is going to be coming back as their head coach there in Denver. So good news for him. But I think just seeing this at the beginning, and we're still in the early stages of both of their tenures as head coaches, it's a lot of fun, and they have a higher ceiling to get to.
I think so, too, and I think a lot of Titans fans still view Matt LaFleur as just not very good, because you look back at the offense they had while he was here, and Derrick Henry wasn't Derrick Henry at this point. And you had Marcus Mariota at quarterback. And look, think back to last year with Arthur Smith. The Titans offense through the first six games, I remember the conversation. A lot of it was, so you went out, LaFleur's gone, and you promoted Arthur Smith, and this is what you've got. This offense is terrible. And then all of a sudden the quarterback switches, and Arthur Smith is a genius at this point. So I think a lot of Titans fans may be too harsh on LaFleur's tenure here as offensive coordinator. You're limited when Mariota, especially Mariota that year dealing with all the nerve stuff that he was dealing with. There just wasn't a whole lot to work with. So I get it. I get the, I guess, hesitancy to give LaFleur credit. But he's done a heck of a job in Green Bay. There's no way to deny it.
I think those are the same people, and I'm not going to turn this into a Mariota bashing session, because, trust me, I was with everyone cheering for him on Thursday night to lead the Raiders back. I wanted it to see it. I even said when he signed there, I love that, challenge Derek Carr, he could take the spot. But we know injuries have gotten in the way. But I think those are the same people that they're going to blame LaFleur because they don't want to blame Mariota. And Mariota is a great human being.
Right.
But for whatever reason, there are still a group of fans that just can't accept the fact that Mariota was not the guy. Just he's not. He's not a starting quarterback in the National Football League. I think he can be a solid backup for a team, whether it's the Raiders or somewhere else. He can stay in the league if he wants to. But I can't put that all on LaFleur. And I was one of those that was saying, okay, he's probably not ready for it. Well, now, even with Aaron Rodgers, he has made it all work. You still have to do the job, and you brought it up, and Mike Vrabel brought it up, that he's gotten the buy-in too, like we've seen here in Nashville with Mike Vrabel, that the players have bought into what he is selling. So I think that's what it is with Arthur Smith. I think that's what it is with Matt LaFleur, and I know that there are some that think, Arthur Smith may not get a head coaching job this year. I'm one of those that I think he will. I look at some of the jobs that are going to be available, whether it's L.A. or Jacksonville, young quarterbacks. I think Arthur Smith would be a heck of a hire for any of those teams. So we will see how that all plays out. It is Chase McCabe with Robbie Stanley. When we come back, I am going to get Robbie to explain the reason that he's wearing the hat that he's wearing. I know this is radio, but it ties into tonight's game. Stick around. Titans Extra here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans and Packers, Sunday Night Football at Lambeau Field tonight. Chase McCabe, Robbie Stanley here with you on Titans Extra. We will turn things over at the bottom of the hour to Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders for NFL pregame. Now, we haven't brought this up yet, and I told Robbie before we went on the air, we are going to address this because I've heard the story, I just don't remember. But, and I know you've talked about it on the morning show on Robbie and Rex Road. You are wearing a Green Bay Packers hat. You are a Green Bay Packers fan.
That's correct.
Living in Nashville, Tennessee, why are you a Green Bay Packers fan?
Well, I think Titans fans, when you initially hear this, you'll be upset at me. But I think you should really thank me by the end of this story. Here's basically how this went down. I'm born and raised here. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. And I grew up as a youngster. I loved the Titans. Steve McNair, Eddie George. I was 7 years old when they came here as the Titans and made the run to the Super Bowl. I was all about some Tennessee Titans football. And then you got around about 09 and 10, and it was just so apathetic. And by the time you got into the Wisenhunt era, like, it was just hard to care. And you know this, Chase, like, watching the franchise, it wasn't on the field. It was everything off the field. They didn't act like they cared about their fan base. They did nothing to change the game day experience at Nissan Stadium. I just didn't care anymore. Like, it was hard for me to justify spending 3 hours of my day watching the Titans every Sunday at that point. So I just stopped. Like, I did not care about the Titans anymore. And I was watching NFL basically for fantasy football. And then a couple years ago, one of my buddies who's a big Packers fan was just like, well, just come watch some games with me and root for the Packers. So I did. Like, I started watching the Packers, somehow got emotionally invested in it. And it wasn't like they were good when I think the first year I started watching, they ended up 5-11. And I was just like, well, I guess I'm just a curse. Like, everywhere I go, like, I'm a Tennessee football fan too. And that goes without saying how much of a curse that is. But, like, as soon as I started, like, actively rooting for the Titans, or excuse me, the Packers, the Titans became good again. So I think if you're a Titans fan out there, you should really appreciate that I jumped ship a few years ago got on board with the Packers, and now all of a sudden the Titans are respectable and one of the elite teams in the NFL again. I take at least 1% credit for that.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this about that story. There are so many people that want to act like they are experts on fandom and they want to set all these rules. Like, for instance, when I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, there was not an NFL team. The first sporting event that I went to was a Vanderbilt football game.
Yeah.
And so that was what I had. So from a NFL standpoint, we got a lot of Cowboys games. I have family in Dallas, Texas that root for the Cowboys. They gave me a Cowboy shirt when I was a kid. And so I became a Cowboys fan. That was my team. My grandfather that I never got a chance to meet was a Cowboys fan. And my dad would always tell me about that. He was a Raiders fan. And so I just naturally became a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. And then when the Titans got here, there was a transition because I saw the oil derrick and go, that's Houston. That's not my team. That's Houston. And as a Cowboys fan, I hated the Oilers, even though they were different conferences. And so it took a while. It was 99. It was when the entire city got on board because that became our team that I started being a Titans fan and wearing Titans shirts. But I never closed the door on my Cowboys fandom.
Sure.
I still like the Cowboys. And so I get crap sometimes about, well, you can't be a fan of two teams. Who says? You?
Yeah.
Why are you the authority? When I, you know, somebody I used to work with all the time when it would come up with, well, you can't do that. That's against the rules. I'm like, why do you make the rules?
Yeah.
You don't make the rules. So to that point, you brought up some very good points because the Titans were terrible and they weren't doing things for the community to help things along until Amy Adams Strunk got there and became the controlling owner. And now things have changed. So I don't fault you at all, and I will give you that 1% for helping turn things around.
I'm just doing my part, Chase. Doing my part. Well, look, and I root for the Titans to do well. I enjoy watching the Titans play. It's actually fun to watch the Titans play football now. It hasn't been fun to watch the Titans play really since like 09 when they were playing and Chris Johnson was going for 2,000 yards. So I'm just glad that we're in a situation now where we're having a radio show today before a pregame show talking about a big Titans game. I mean, this game is a big deal for this city, for this team, for this franchise. It's Sunday Night Football. You're going up against a Hall of Fame quarterback. You've got a chance to win the division. Like, if you follow the Titans for any length of time, you know stuff like this doesn't come around very often.
Right.
If you're the Titans, you have got to take advantage of it. That's why I am so excited about this game. I think there's a lot at stake for both teams. We mentioned the Titans have a chance to win the division. If the Rams beat the Seahawks today, and we'll know the result of that by the kickoff of tonight's game, Packers win. They're the one seed in the NFC.
Yep.
So both teams are going to have a ton to play for. I think you're going to see the best football from both of them, and I just think it's going to be a great game. And it's exciting if you're a Titans fan to be back in a position like this where a game like this matters for all the marbles in the regular season on Sunday Night Football.
Now here's where I will pick it, fans. A little bit, because I've seen this on Twitter a couple of times, and we pointed it out as potential scenarios, that the Titans could lose tonight and still have a chance to win the division next week. I hate that thought process, because you're telling me there it's okay to lose. And
yeah.
I know that it could happen, but my mindset is you get it done tonight. You get it done tonight, and then you know what you focus on next week? You focus on improving your seed and getting Derrick Henry to 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
That's what you focus on, because I think he's going to go over 120 tonight.
I think so, too.
I think he is going to put himself in position. Number one, he's going to put the team in a position to win. That's its ultimate goal. But he's going to be in a position where next week it's going to be reachable, that there is going to be a chance that he could get to 2,000 yards. But my whole mentality is you have a chance to win the football game tonight and be the AFC South champions. You got that part locked up, then you do it tonight. Because, as I also said, this team historically has not won the division. I mean, that's going all the way back to the merger in Houston. I mean, they haven't won the division a lot. And that's really important as you try and build this into a perennial favorite, a perennial contender of not just barely eking into the playoffs. I mean, that's the one thing that's nice is they're at 10 wins. They could get 11 tonight, which would clinch their spot. I mean, they're right there where you don't have to worry about getting help in week 17 and winning your game and barely squeaking into the playoffs. I mean, they have certainly taken that step already this year. But get it done tonight. I mean, let's not play the scenario of, well, you know, they could still do it next week with a loss. I don't like that mentality.
Well, and the other part of that is you don't know how long you've got with this window. Like, the window to win the NFL, it's a year-by-year thing. I mean, you think that you're going to come back next year and things are going to work out and you'll be right back in contention again. But, I mean, injuries happen. Just ask the San Francisco 49ers about a window right now. I mean,
yep,
they've been just ravaged by injuries this year and were in the Super Bowl last year and not going to sniff the playoffs this year. So it's just – it's one of those things where you – like I said before, only a few times in your career does a situation like this come around where you've got a chance to make a statement on national television, on Sunday Night Football, to win a division for a franchise that hasn't done so since 08, and to make another run at it in the postseason. I mean, I think everybody looks at the AFC and they just think it's a waste of time. It's going to be Kansas City's, you know, conference to win, and they'll be back in the Super Bowl. And you know what? Maybe they will. I don't know. I mean, they're really good. I get that. But the Titans, that offense can compete with anybody. And yep, you give yourself a chance. That starts tonight in Green Bay. You've got to get into that mentality right now because that's the mentality it's going to take to move through the playoffs like they did last year.
Well, and just to wrap up this conversation, I'll say this too about windows. There's two things that you also have to factor in. Number one, the game plan when it comes to financials at the beginning of 2020 has changed completely at the end of 2020 because of COVID-19. There are going to be a lot of veteran players that are going to get released from teams, yep, because of the salary cap, because teams aren't going to have a choice, and they're going to have to part ways with guys that they don't want to. The Titans are no exception there.
Yeah,
that it's going to look different. I mean, we asked the question, and I heard the interview you guys did with Joel Corey on Corey Davis. You know, chances are he's probably not going to be here next year because you're not going to be able to afford him, and you're going to have to look 2-3 years down the line. And then the second part of that is, when you're successful, you lose members of the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith being the prime example, but it's not just that, the front office. I mean, there could be members of the Titans front office that move on to bigger jobs and work their way up the football ladder. So that all factors into it as well in closing the window. And I think we saw it back in 99 when all of us, you know, we were kids at that point, but we thought, oh, this team in 2000 is even better than the one that the year before. We're shoo-in to go back to the Super Bowl, get knocked out in the divisional round.
Yeah.
The Nashville Predators go to the Stanley Cup final. Oh, that the next team is better. They're going to go all the way again, get knocked out in 7 games in the second round. That's what happens. That's sports. So nothing is guaranteed. That's why you have to take advantage of it right here and right now. Chase McCabe, Robbie Stanley hanging out. Our X Factors for the Titans and the Packers coming up next, and then we'll turn things over to Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders for NFL pregame. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans Extra here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Robbie Stanley with you. Just saw the Tennessee Titans put out on their Twitter account a video, Ben Jones and his weekly tradition of walking the field barefoot, but it's pouring down snow. So he's walking barefoot in the snow with shorts on.
Is that tough or is that crazy? And I guess both.
I'm going to say yes. I'm just going to say it's both.
Like, are you doing more harm than good there, not being able to feel your toes heading into the game?
Listen, I learned in just stories that when I worked with Brad Hopkins, he used to tell all these old stories of his day of playing. And offensive linemen, they're just a little bit different. They just are. And he said that Bruce Matthews had a rule in place that what you wore in week one is what you were going to wear the rest of the season. So if you were one of those guys that you wanted sleeves in November, you were wearing sleeves in August. If you didn't want sleeves in August, you didn't have sleeves in November. That's just how offensive linemen are, and they're very, I guess, I don't know if superstitious is the right word, but they have their traditions and they have their routines.
Like, if this game is -8 in Lambeau, is Ben Jones walking through the field with no socks on, no shoes on?
Yes. He walks the field.
That's interesting.
He may not, at this point in his career, he may not have feelings on his feet anymore.
You know what? Just roll with it.
Maybe that's going to be what he's going to say when he retires. Like, yeah, I haven't been able to feel anything.
I haven't felt my feet in 6 years.
So that's what it is. our X factors tonight, and I'm going to take the Titans, you're going to take the Packers.
Okay.
On this is, again, Chris Sanders, Jared Stillman will take over at the top of the next hour. I'll let you go first with the home team Green Bay Packers. Your X factor tonight for them is who?
Well, look, I think you know what you're going to get in Aaron Rodgers. You know what you're going to get in Devontae Adams. But I think a guy that's really been important to this offense this year has been Robert Tonyan. And you look at him, he's a Pro Bowl snub in my opinion. Did not make it. 10 touchdowns on the year. He's become a go-to target for Aaron Rodgers. He's a central part of their game plan. I mean, I mentioned Devontae Adams. They're going to get him the ball early and often in this game. But you know that if you're the Titans. What you can't have happen is Tonyan just killing you over the middle as well. I thought Kevin Byard last week did a great job on T.J. Hockenson. And I know he got the pick at the end. Even without the pick, I thought Byard played really well in that game. I thought that was by far the best game that he's played all season long. If he gets matched up one-on-one at times in this game with Tonyan, you've got to win that matchup if you're Kevin Byard in the Titans. I think Tonyan, he's got the ability to sneak out there and get past the defense and run after the catch as well. So he's an X factor to me in this game. The other guy I'll throw in there too is Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who I mentioned. You'll see him a couple times tonight. They'll run a go route with him and try to take the top off the defense that way. Now, the thing with Valdes-Scantling is Aaron Rodgers can hit him right in the hands, and he's just as likely to catch it as he is to drop the ball. So you never know what you're going to get. At one point this year, Valdes-Scantling was leading the leagues in drop percentages. So it's something you got to worry about if you're a Packers fan with MVS in this game. But those two guys, to me, if you're the Titans and you can limit what they do, you've got a chance, even with Adams, I think, taking over like he's been known to do, you've got a chance to hang in there with the Packers. If you don't, and Tonyan and MVS are able to run wild in addition to Devontae Adams, you just have no chance in this game. You got to make sure if you're the Titans that you slow down the weapons outside of Devontae Adams.
Yeah, and I mean, the same message can be delivered to A.J. Brown.
Sure.
Because he's had some key drops this year that you simply cannot have if you're going to be the number one go-to wide receiver, and I think he's aware of that. And I think we also see that when he does that, it's because he's trying to make the play before he's made the catch. And that's a young wide receiver that's going to have to realize that you got to make the catch, then go make the play. And we know that he is capable of making a big play after a catch. So my answer is probably going to be an obvious one. It's not Derrick Henry necessarily. It's Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
And the reason that I say that, and the reason that I go to the quarterback, which is the most important position on the team, is all of the pieces that we've talked about, Derrick Henry included, even though Derrick Henry is the catalyst that makes that offense go, it all starts with 17. 17 is the one that is completing the passes off of play action that make play action work. Granted, Derrick Henry is a lethal weapon that makes you fall for the play action,
sure.
But he's the one that's got to get the ball to A.J. Brown. He's the one that's got to get the ball to Corey Davis. And he's also the one that I trust the most in a pressure-packed situation like this is going to be tonight. Granted, you're not going to have the packed Lambeau field like you're used to with the Lambeau leaps and all of that. It's going to be certainly different in COVID times. This is still a tough matchup to go into on Sunday night, on primetime, with snow on the ground, in frigid temperatures. To me, it all goes on the shoulders of Ryan Tannehill of just keeping everybody in the right headspace and then making the plays himself. An honorable mention that I will throw in there outside of the big three and Henry and Davis and A.J. Brown, it is Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith, I think, is going to have to be a key player, especially when they get into the red zone like he has been with the type of catches that he makes. I think that's underrated of how acrobatic he can be with the football. The one-handed grabs are – you know, last year against Baltimore.
He's completely fearless.
And he is going to do whatever it takes to make a play, whether he's 100% or 50% when it comes to his body. So I would certainly throw his name in there for the Titans as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I'm interested to see if he continues to be involved. We saw it last week, 5 catches, 5 targets for Jonnu Smith. That's been not the norm lately, given what the state of the offensive line has been. I think you're right, Chase. He's going to have a big game tonight. You've got to have that weapon, or at least the threat of the weapon, going over the middle. I mentioned it to start the show. That's an area both in the running game and the passing game over the middle where the Packers are very vulnerable. You've got to find a way to take advantage of that. I would assume that Arthur Smith has seen that on film this week. I would not be surprised if the script to begin the game attacks that part of the Packers defense over the middle. And if they do that, and based on the way this Titans offense has played all year, I think you're going to see them have a good night. I think this Titans offense, especially with the weather being what it is, they're set up to have some good success in this game offensively.
So as we wrap this up, again, over under 54.5 tonight for this game. We've seen the videos of the snow on the ground. We know it's going to be winter for sure.
Yep.
In Green Bay. How do you see it going?
Look, I think people shy away from the over when the elements are like this, and I get it. The wind's blowing. There's snow on the ground. I still think the over hits. I think both offenses are going to roll in this game. I said it the other day on the show. It's going to be a shootout. I like Rodgers to make one more play in the end. Give me the Packers 34, the Titans 31.
It's interesting that you say that score, because I'm going 34-31, but I'm saying Titans. Yeah. And what's crazy is with that score, Steven Gostkowski comes into play.
Yeah, he does.
Which we haven't really talked about him the last few weeks. I mean, you felt more comfortable. It seems like the kicking game has gotten where it needs to be. But I think that that factors in the elements. But I do think the Titans squeak it out in a shootout, and they get the win and win the AFC South.
What a win it would be.
It'd be huge. It would be. It's another one of those momentum getters, and you brought up some of the letdowns that they've had this year. I think Mike Vrabel is going to make sure that doesn't happen tonight. That's going to do it for our coverage, but stick around. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, they are in the on-deck circle. NFL pregame is coming up next. For Robbie Stanley, hear him tomorrow at 6. I'm Chase McCabe. Hear me tomorrow at 10. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.